Walls, who is a representative of that department, will explain the request. After he has done that, then we will open it up to the public to see if anyone has any questions or objections.
Yeah. Good afternoon, Ms. Walls.
Good afternoon, Mr. President, County Council, ladies and gentlemen. As you know, we've asked for an increase for the Sheriff's Department, and one of them is on the alias summons that we do. We want to increase on that. We have to send more than one deputy out to do this job, and we found out by doing a cost study that it's costing us money out of our pocket. We're not breaking even. We would like to at least break even on that. If we go to a person's property to post their property and they're not home, then we have to go back to the courts and get another summons to go out there and post on the door that the property's going to be sold. And usually it takes three or four times to do that. So in the past, we've never had to do that, but now we seem to get more and more into that. So it's cost us to run our deputies back and forth, the car, the gas, and everything else. So we've got several hours invested in that. So that's one of the reasons for the increase on that. The replevins that we do, we ask for an increase on that due to the fact that when we're going to the different, either a person's house or a business, and we're taking their property. And we are having problems with having threats and, you know, and different things. We've had several problems with it. Just yesterday we had a big incident out on 113, and we have to send at least two deputies. Sometimes we send three, and that cost us. We have to stop what we're doing, send the extra help out there. We do involve the state police and whatever jurisdiction we're in. If we're in a town, we call the town police and ask them to be there also. Yesterday, we had to shut down 113 due to the fact that we were confiscating some trucks, and the people wouldn't let us in. We had to get a court order to get in there, and we had the rights to break the doors or locks, whatever we had to do to get this vehicle that we were trying to get. And the gentleman pulled it out in the middle of the highway and left it, so we had a big to do with that. So it took us, we were there about 5.5 or 6 hours doing that. So we just, on our cost study that we did, is we found out that it was costing the county money to have us do this. So if we're going to continue to do this work, which I assume we are, we have to, we need to have this increase just to cover ourselves. When we do, this also covers the levies that we do. When we go to somebody's house and levy either their property or their goods and chattels that's either in their house or lawnmowers or whatever, we have to send more than one deputy because we have threats with people have guns in their house or pit bulls or dogs or knives or whatever, and we've had several threats. So when we're taking this, we have to have at least two deputies there. Sometimes we send three, for the fact is we're not willing to get anybody hurt. So, and as the economy has steady got worse, they say it's getting better. I don't see it. We're booked up right now, clean through. We're into November now, and by the end of this week, we'll be full into November for all of our stuff. So it's not getting any better. So these increases that we're asking for are just to cover our basic, you know, costs that we have involved in. Not going to make us any money, really. I mean, you know, we might make a dollar here or there, but it's not, you know, not a big increase. The certification of the letters, you know, postage have gone up, and it costs us now. We're asked to increase that from $5 to $7.50. That's just going to cover the cost. Really not going to cover us in any, you know, extra money. So anybody has any questions?
Any questions for Mr. Walls?
Who pays the fee when you're seizing goods and chattels, property?
It's the...
Who pays the 4%?
Whoever the person is filing, if it's an individual or a corporation that's trying to get something
finance
back today.
Company,
yeah.
Or
yeah.
A bank,
yeah.
Or okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We don't have to pay it. Somebody else is
okay,
paying.
I see.
Any other questions for Mr. Walls before
when you go out there, you say you have to go sometimes two and three and four times. Do you bill them each time? I mean,
no,
can you?
No, we've never been allowed in the past to bill them. They only have to pay us one time for the thing. So mm-hmm. That's been a problem that we've had. And
I assume that's state law.
This will take care of that. We'll go several times. In the past, we've never been able to bill them. So I don't know whose law it was. I don't know. But
okay.
County ordinance that it now exists allows them to charge $30 one time. This would allow them to charge
Yes.
A specific amount for each required trip.
Okay, I thought that was reading.
That'll just cover, that's just covering us, really. That's not making any money. That's just covering our expense.
Any other questions for Mr. Walls? All right, don't go far. The public may have some questions.
Is there anyone here from the public who would like to be heard? Mr. Kramer?
I bet you Mr. Kramer.
You can sit down, Mr. Walls. Stay close, but sit down.
My name is Dan Kramer, 8041 Scott Store Road, Greenwood. There's a couple issues. Number one, why do they need the money when you're getting in $2 million is beyond me, but that's not the question. The question I really have is, which of the ordinances are you working on? When this thing was introduced a couple of weeks ago, you actually introduced two of them. So therefore, you got two live ones. Because when it was introduced, she introduced it. And then, whoa, 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 we want to make some changes. So they held a public hearing up here while it's still there. And you guys change it, and he sits there and changes the thing, and it was reintroduced. So which one are you now working on? And if you guys would introduce your stuff right the first time, you wouldn't have to correct it the second time. By the state law, instead of your stupid policy.
Is there anyone else from the public who would like to be heard concerning this ordinance? Let the record show that no one else asked to be recognized. Any questions of council before we close the public hearing?
Does the council have any other questions?
No.
Okay, we'll close the public hearing.
Public hearing is closed.
I would ask our council to address the issue that was raised during the public hearing. I was not here at the time.
Yeah, I don't have the minutes of that meeting before me, but my recollection was that an issue was raised about deleting a certain section, and introduction was delayed until the ordinance was modified, and after Mr. Guy modified the ordinance, it was then introduced. But I certainly don't have the minutes of that particular meeting before me, but that was my recollection. Maybe some of you would have a similar recollection.
So you don't believe in its original form it was officially introduced?
I don't think the process is defective. I think it was introduced after it was modified.
They were the words I was looking for. Does council have any other questions or concerns?
Yeah.
What is the pleasure of the council?
Make a motion we adopt the ordinance.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to adopt the ordinance. Is there any further concerns or questions? Debate? If not, we will call the question. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
I agree with the Sheriff's Department for the need to increase the fees.
To cover costs?
Yes.
And I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you, Mr. Walls. Good afternoon. This afternoon, I have for your consideration a lease between the county and the state of Delaware for Lot G at the airport for use by the Delaware State Police Aviation Unit. We have with us today Jeff Evans, who's the Aviation Unit Commander, in case you have any questions of him. The State Police have been there since 1990, 1991. Started out as a subtenant to one of our tenants. They were there for a few years, and the tenant went out of business, kind of leaving the State Police there by themselves. And this is where it gets real fuzzy. Depending on who you talk to and whose memory can go back 15 years and notes, et cetera, there was some money that was owed to different people, including the county, I believe, at the time. And what it came down to was that the council at the time and the county administrator were very big on keeping the aviation unit at the airport. And the agreement was made that you pay off all these debts and keep everybody happy, you can stay at the airport and we won't charge you rent. So basically since 1995, that's been the arrangement that we've gone under. We've also had no lease with the State Police since 1995. And for the last couple of years, I've been working with Captain Evans on coming up with a lease agreement that's acceptable to both sides. I do need to tell you what the FAA's policy is on this no rent thing. They believe that negotiations between units of government like us and the state, rates would be set at levels that would be achieved through arm's length negotiations. However, that there are some exceptions for police and fire units that are based at the airport. They're still expected to pay a reasonable amount of rent, but you can offset that rent by the value of the services that they provide to the airport. Not to the community, but to the airport itself. So let me just quickly go through the terms. I'll get back to that. There's an initial 10-year term with 2 5-year options, and we've made sure that the county actually has an option this time on those options. We had the property appraised 2 years ago for a fair rental value, and it was established at $19,179 a year. And in the lease, both sides agree, well, the state police agrees that they will provide services that equal that amount. And that's listed in the lease, and you should have a copy of that in your packet. Whenever the state police are not being used, the people there at the airport are not being used by the state police, their EMT is available for emergency responses, both aviation and non-aviation, at the airport. They're also available for routine law enforcement, as allowed by the Delaware Code. And then the big one is that they will use their aviation assets for security surveillance of the airport. And we've done that in the past also. They have a very sophisticated infrared camera system on their helicopters that allows them to, you know, see things like people crossing the runway at night, people in the woods in the industrial park up to no good. Basically, the $19,179 pays for about 3 minutes of helicopter time a day, or about an hour of EMT availability. Excuse me. They're allowed to use the property for anything related to their business as long as part of that business is aviation. They can't transfer, assign, or sublease. And then the biggest sticking point that we've had over the last couple of years is insurance, because the state, with self-insurance and indemnification type rules, that took a while to work out. Basically, we're very consistent with what we've been requiring of everybody else out there lately, with kind of a state twist, because they are a state agency. Unless you have any questions.
Now, is this one of the, we don't own the building, right? We're not going to maintain this building.
No, the state police own the building.
So if the roof goes bad, the state has to pay.
Yes, sir. It's, okay. It's ground rent only.
I know in some of those hangars that there are. So, okay.
Okay. So. Any other questions? You have a motion.
Good deal.
Be it moved that Sussex County Council approve the lease agreement with the State of Delaware and the Delaware State Police, acting by and through the Department of Homeland Security, for Lot G at the Sussex County Airport, as presented.
Make that motion that we approve the lease.
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the lease as read by Mr. Higdon. Is there any questions?
Yeah, I do. I have a question. You said FAA is requiring that we, I'm assuming you're saying that we lease these properties at market value or the equivalent, if and not applying to the police or fire service, but other tenants.
By anyone in the aeronautical use areas, which this is, the requirement is the rent has to be fair and reasonable, without unjust discrimination, and it has to contribute to our requirement of being self-sustaining.
But it doesn't say
fair market value, but that's one way of doing it.
And do we still have one hangar under 30-year lease at lower than fair market value?
We have more than one.
More than one. And do we still allow subletting?
It depends on the lease. All the leases that allow that are at your discretion, or with
okay.
the council's approval.
Okay. I understand. That might, if we could charge fair market value, maybe that would help us pay for the dog control.
Any other questions or comments? Then we will take.
I was trying to figure out where you're leading to.
Yeah, that's where I'm leading to.
Okay.
If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Izzo.
Good
Part of the menu here.
Tell them to hurry up.
Good afternoon. I have a couple of items on my agenda this afternoon. I've asked Gay to hand down a fact sheet, and basically we have three separate contract actions that are involved. What I've tried to do is just kind of lay out bullet points for each contract that I could review with the council. The first is in reference to a proposed contract amendment with Delta Airport Consultants. The contract amendment would involve our rehabilitation of runway 1028. 1028 is the runway that was abandoned many years ago that we are in the process of reopening, trying very hard to reopen that runway. I should mention the contract amendments for $143,000, and it's for extra contract administration time due to construction time overrun by the contractor, as well as overtime inspection and additional testing required by to perform the inspection on the runway. An easy example is the contractor was required to install a test strip or two. Actually, all he had to do was install one test strip of paving that would pass, and then he would be able to commence with the paving of the runway. However, I think at this point we're on test strip number 8 or 9. So, good example of extra work performed by our inspection agent to oversee the work. Plus, we're now beyond the time frame. Basically, the work should have been completed last fall. We did shut down in the fall because due to cold weather, got to the point where it was too cold to pave. We shut down the project, and basically the contractor was awarded a few weather days, but officially the contract term ended on May 23rd, and since that time the contractor has incurred liquidated damages of $2,000 a day. So we're up to about $60,000. We did have a good productive meeting yesterday, and it looks like the paving will commence on or about Thursday evening, weather dependent. There is nighttime work involved, so about 10 o'clock on Thursday night and going into Friday morning, the contractor will be paving. We anticipate another couple weeks. Hopefully the paving will be complete, and then there's additional work beyond that. I point that out because even with the liquidated damages, we might not get all the way to cover the $143,000 of extra work. However, we will have a significant contract credit as far as our unit prices. We're going to have a large credit at the end of the day for that. So with the liquidated damages and with that credit, we should cover this contract overrun as far as the construction inspection is involved. If there aren't any questions, I can read a motion.
Any questions for Mr. Izzo?
No. I mean, Dixie Construction is going to get it done, and we're going to have a completed runway. What do you project, and how long?
I think we're going to have pavement down by mid-July in good shape. Mm-hmm. We have to wait a period of time for the pavement to cure. We can come out and paint it and do some other miscellaneous work. Is Mr. Hicken still here?
Yeah, he's still here.
And when do you think, Jim, will actually be able to open up the runway? By the end of the summer?
September.
Okay.
Yeah. We have some, the FAA has to come in and certify the clearances and things of that nature beyond the actual physical construction. So I think we are on the right path now. In Dixie's defense, their subcontractor, which Tilcon was a company that's been around for years and years, and they went belly up in the fall. Had to bring in a completely different contractor and kind of start from square one. That was another reason we had a lot of additional costs.
Any other questions for Mr. Izzo? Go ahead, Mike.
Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that the Sussex County Council approves amendment number 22 to its engineering agreement between Sussex County and Delta Airport Consultants Incorporated to rehabilitate crosswind runway 1028 for the Sussex County Airport, which increases the original contract amount by $143,087 pending approval from DelDOT and or the FAA.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the resolution read by Mr. Izzo. Is there any comments or discussion or questions? questions?
A little comment. Maybe
yes.
Our duck ponds will be gone by then, too.
We are working on that as well. They walked the area that needs to be regraded with the private property owner on Monday morning. I think we're all on the same page. The Conservation District's going to come out and do the work.
Oh, good.
And the duck pond should go away.
Good. Wonderful.
Okay. Any other questions? We'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you. The second item is a proposed design contract with Whitman Recwarton Associates. It's a contract amendment in the amount of $929,000 for the design of phase one of the expansion of the Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility. It will increase the treatment capacity from existing, it's permitted at 1.2 MGD, million gallons per day, out to 2 million gallons per day, and will increase our disposal capacity provided by our spray irrigation rigs from 1.2 MGD out to about 2.6 MGD. We received $1.3 million in stimulus loan forgiveness, which is basically a grant. Mm-hmm. And it requires a contract agreement to be signed with the contractor by February 10, 2010, which means we have to work hard to get the design done and have DENREC approve the plans in time for a November 15th bid advertisement. And we anticipate we're going to have this thing advertised by about November 15th to, you know, give us a little bit of a window to get the contract out on the street, open up bids, award the bid, get the award approved by the funding agencies, and then execute an agreement with the contractor.
Any questions for Mr. Izzo?
Is this what, would this facility be used if we were to cooperate with Rehoboth Beach and in their plans?
It's one of the possibilities, uh-huh. And that's kind of why we're doing a mm-hmm. slightly smaller increment of expansion, because we don't know where that's going
uh-huh.
yet.
Okay, we don't have that result from
We
that
meet
study
monthly
yet.
With the city of Rehoboth, and we're making good progress.
But it's not, we don't have a result from the feasibility study yet?
We are, we have given them some numbers. They've okay. asked us questions about the numbers.
So it's, okay.
And we're coming back to them with further information. So we anticipate we'll probably be in sometime in July. The council only meets a couple times late in the month. If not late July, early August to give a okay. presentation to the county council.
Great, great. Okay, thanks.
Can you describe the scope of work?
For this particular contract amendment, this will provide the design services, put together the plans and specifications, which will, you know, we'll bid those improvements that are needed.
What are those improvements specifically? Okay. Are you putting new spray fields up?
Obviously, we need additional spray fields.
How many additional acres do you anticipate?
I have a map, and I think Heather has the numbers right there. I should mention I have Heather Sheridan, who's a director of environmental services, and we have Mike Gilbert, who's the local rep from Whitman Recwarton Associates, and I even have a map if you'd like to see a map of the areas that we would expand to. Go ahead, Heather.
Phase one will give us an additional, give us 213 additional acres.
I'm gonna
213.
213.
Wow.
213. The areas in yellow will be the additional spray areas that we'll.
So it'll give us from 1.2 up to 2.6 MGD.
Are we still having trouble with the ponding and whatnot out there?
We've come up with, go ahead.
We've had some made some field modifications and had some progress, but we're hoping, obviously
this will
we
help
do
that.
Need to move
yeah.
forward
mm-hmm.
and
okay.
permit additional.
Okay.
Can you describe the field modifications?
We've shut off the rigs when it gets in the wet spots, and the farmer has dissed all those fields, deep dissed them to try and break up, because our hydrogeo said a lot of the ponding was due to compaction from farming practices. So
we proposed a couple different what we thought were innovative ways to deal with that ponding to DENREC, but they did not approve our means and methods for doing that. They would prefer us just basically take those areas out of service. But I think there are some mechanical means that could be employed that could make them productive again. But we're going to let that go on by for a while. You
know, they wanted us to disc them to see how much that would help without going any further with drains and additional. So we'll see how that goes.
Now, you've got close to $1 million for the design. How much is the cost of construction? What's the total cost for the project?
$12.8 million is our cost estimate.
$12.8 million.
That's correct.
For bringing on...
It's additional treatment, too, not just disposal. We have treatment components that we need.
Higher level.
Now, you've got one field on here, which is already has a pivot on it.
That's correct.
And there's been discussions, I know, since the beginning of the year about plumbing over to that and bringing that online immediately.
Yeah, if you remember, all we're doing is piping it over from the existing field, which means we can spray on the north field or we could spray on that field. We can't run them both at the same time. The way we're going to propose to set it up is we'll have a whole new pipeline, but a pipeline that would run from the plant out to the north field rig and then a set of pumps set up directly for that north field rig, for that northeast rig, so that we can run both of those fields at the same time. By running this short-term solution we're going to do will allow us to operate the field either or, not both at the same time.
You want them both run the same time? Is that what you're saying? You don't want them run the same time?
I think we need the flexibility to be able to run them both at the same time, yes.
Back in the fall, early winter, there was the old council, I believe, directed the administration to look at a request for a proposal to possibly take some pressure off this treatment facility. Am I ringing any bells?
Yes, that was...
Actually, that was for the Wolf Neck plant.
Wolf Neck.
That was not for
this
plant.
Not for this one. Right.
And this was the one that was going to go up around Milton, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But that was for the Wolf Neck facility.
Strictly.
That was not strictly.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
We didn't directly help Inland Bay's plant because growth in West Rehoboth area eventually would our plan right now is growth in the West Rehoboth area would eventually, that would be treated eventually at the Inland Bays plant because we have land there. We've invested in land there. So.
Right.
Where is that RFP at this point?
We've been back and forth with Rehoboth trying to decide if they were interested because they were part of the, they're part of the whole issue. So at this point in time, we haven't pursued it. The steps that we have taken is we've entered into a study to look at the operational costs of running Rehoboth's waste to the Wolf Neck plant, and then part of the waste would be treated there, and then waste would be pumped to the Inland Bays facility for spray irrigation and maybe some treatment on the different options there. But the thought was that we would continue on that vein, if that option is in Rehoboth's, if Rehoboth is interested in that or not, or if they want to just, and then
it's all about the economics of it,
option,
right?
Doing an RFP,
number of ways to do it.
Flat out.
We wrote a letter to City of Rehoboth and asked if they were interested in the private RFP, and they haven't responded.
Right.
Is basically where we are. And then we have this series of stimulus projects that we've got to get out on the street or lose our grant funding.
Yeah.
And that's taken up a lot of our time and energy.
Mm-hmm. If we commit to close to $1 million today, you can pretty much write off those options that you talked about. I mean, we will pretty much be committing to this facility.
Now, we need this upgrade.
Anyway,
this facility right now is a standalone facility. We're going to bring on Angola Sewer District in 2011. We're going to bring on the Oak Orchard expansion area in 2011. We need this upgrade to manage those areas and also for the growth in Long Neck. Even though the economy is down, we're still seeing growth in the Long Neck Sewer District. We had about 10% growth in 2007. And even last year in 2008 in a down economy, we had 2% growth in the Long Neck Sewer District. So we're still seeing growth there. So...
Any other questions for Mr. Izzo?
This upgrade in any way relieve Wolf Neck, because I know it's maxed out
What we're doing it right here today is to make use of the stimulus money and to deal with the standalone Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility.
But that doesn't help Wolfneck in any way whatsoever.
What we've done is we've kind of modeled it to give us the flexibility if either Wolfneck comes or Wolfneck and the city of Rehoboth comes.
Okay.
This expansion is flexible enough to deal with the next phase of expansion that would be needed. And we will need to do something at Wolfneck by or before 2015, regardless of whether we do a joint project with the city of Rehoboth. But we need to deal with the short-term needs at Inland Bays.
I would just say that I would hope that we would encourage Rehoboth to use the land application system instead of over outfalls. That's all I would say.
I don't think we're ever going to be able to give them a number that's cheaper than ocean outfall, and that was one of my questions to them. You know, if, say, they had a number of $680 a year, which is what they've gone on record with, well, what number would get their attention to go to land application? I think they're mulling that over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have a motion. Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the County Engineering Department that the Sussex County Council hereby authorizes its president to execute Amendment Number 12 to its contract with Whitman Reckwart & Associates, LLP, for the Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility Phase 1 expansion at a cost not to exceed $929,468.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the amendment to the contract as read by Mr. Izzo. Is there any discussion?
On this, on the bottom half of your map here,
correct.
And there's your old system you're running, and of course, this one we're trying to get up running.
Right.
Who designed that for you? Who put that together? Is that Stern Williams?
Stearns and Wheeler, right.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if we should maybe talk to regular irrigation people, like Newton's or someone, and got it from them. We could probably. I tell you, I've had some irrigation systems put in. They've always designed it, and that was part of the cost, which is very economical compared to.
And I would agree to that.
These guys are terrible. You have big prices.
Well, what they're doing is they're just laying out, trying to give us an estimate of an area. We will include, you know, a supplier of the irrigation rigs in our design process and sit down, whether it's O.A. Newton or somebody else, and include them and have them say, okay, these are the standard sizes of irrigation rigs so that we lay them out to match something that's not a special order. And that's something we routinely do, whether it's an irrigation rig or a pump or whatever.
Good idea.
Okay.
Are you comfortable with close to $1 million in consulting fees on something that they have had intimate knowledge of and working with for a long time? It seems like a lot of money.
That's what I was thinking.
When you look at complexity of doing designs, treatment plants, the 911 facility, there's a lot of things that have to be considered. It's a heavy-duty, in-depth. There's a lot of trades involved. You include civil engineers. You got mechanical engineers. You got electrical engineers. You now have to have integrators that are familiar with IT. So it's a lot more complicated than some of the pipeline projects that we bring in here before the council. So, yes, I am comfortable with this number. Mr. Baker even got involved himself as far as trying to negotiate this price. And I think we did make some inroads because we don't come in here with the first blush number they give us.
Did you get in there?
There's a lot of back and forth, and we went back and forth. I can't remember. Maybe even Susie got involved. But we do what we can to get a reasonable number, and I think regardless of the consultant we bring in through the door, you're going to see a comparable number to this for the work at hand. So, yeah, I am comfortable with this number.
And now, go ahead.
We have got an additional 5 or 6 engineers that have been approved. Was
right.
It when you start getting up close to $1 million just for a consultation? Is there any thought that maybe we should ask another one of those just to give us a cost?
Stay local some.
Well, we're not in a situation.
Time problem.
Not asking you to bid it out, but
we got a time problem. I want to point that out, and we need to get moving. I have no problem if we want to give this scope of work to those engineer firms and see if they see anything that they, you know, have them value engineer and say whether they think this is a reasonable number or not. I don't think we have the time to negotiate with another consultant. And also, again, the selection was made for this particular consultant. They're already familiar with the project. Any other consultant we'd have to bring on board would take them time to get up, become familiar with the plant, because it is complex, and there's a lot of water under the bridge. There's a lot of dealing with Denrec. There's a lot of dealing with the soils on the site that another consultant would not be familiar with. That would take us a lot of time. But I don't think it's unreasonable to ask, whether it's George Miles and Buer, Davis Bell and Friedel, to take a look at this number and, you know, do a double check.
Yeah, but we got to pay them to do that. I mean, every time you turn around,
do it for free.
You're paying more money. So if it ends up they come back and say it's legitimate, then we spend another $50,000 just to check out their numbers. So
well, I've watched Dave Baker in operation, and believe me, he's the biggest penny pincher I ever knew. I think if he was involved in it, it's got to be rock bottom.
Well, I mean, in this case, we're looking at, from my calculation, 7.3% of the project cost is in engineering. And to begin with, I consider that a little on the high side. And when you consider that this is a project that they're familiar with, you mentioned all these studies and things, we're not breaking new ground here. And we've got, in the past, we have had costs come in at 5 and 6%. And if it was a $100,000 contract, you know, $10,000 here or there, maybe we shouldn't get too excited about, but
in this case, for this plant design, we have to complete 114 sheets of drawings, which again, relative to a pipeline project of a similar number, we're not going to have near that many sheets. There's just so much more. The work is so much more in depth.
So that's over 8,000 a sheet. That's pretty good.
We better use the administrative copy machine.
This isn't sewer, doesn't it pay for itself at some point?
Well, we do have an existing, I think we have a financing plan in hand.
This would be paid for by
the
users.
It's not overhead. I mean, it's
over time as we borrow the money to do this project.
But I mean, the users pay back.
It's paid by the districts.
The districts pay back.
Yeah.
Will pay us back because I would have to borrow the money.
The taxpayers do not.
We have a
taxpayer. It would be the users.
Well, yes, those taxpayers.
Sure,
users.
Sure,
some taxpayers are paying for it,
but
and some
aren't. But it's user financed, is what.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. And we have a history. You know, we've never come in, and regardless of the consultant we've used, whether it's Whitman or GMB or Delta, I don't think we've ever come in and asked for an extra on a design overrun. Generally, we come in under our number.
We have a motion. We have a motion and a second on the table. If there's no further discussion, we'll call for the vote. Should the vote go down, we would have the ability to introduce another motion to value engineer this or to defer it to another week. But we do have a motion on the floor to approve this contract as read by Mr. Izzo. I'll call the vote. Ms. Deaver.
I'm going to vote yes, and I'm going to vote yes because, you know, there are some private systems that have gone down, and none of ours have, and I'm very proud of the kind of systems that we put in. That's my vote, yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Based on staff recommendations, I'll say yes. Heather likes it, I like it.
Thank you.
I'm going to vote no, just feel a little uncomfortable with this, voting my conscience, but the motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have one additional item. It's in reference to a contract, our SR 26 phase two. You may recall last year we took sewer up to about where the Millville Town Hall was. This basically takes the sewer west on SR 26, not quite to Hawker's G&E or Hawker's Super Center, but to serve the last little trailer park that's there. The work was performed under tough circumstances. There's a lot of traffic on SR 26. However, I think we did pretty well because I don't think there was any councilman that ever got any complaints from the commercial businesses nor people about waiting in line too long. So I take that as a positive, and I have a motion that would grant substantial completion to our contractor, George and Lynch.
I was late for a basketball game one day.
Sorry about that.
My son was starting.
I think you'll get his vote. Go ahead and read it, Mr. Izzo.
Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the County Engineering Department that the Sussex County Council grant substantial completion effective June 3, 2009 for Sussex County contract number 08-03, Millville expansion of the Bethany Beach Sewer District State Route 26 West and MPS number 8 to George and Lynch Incorporated, and that final payment be made and any held retainage be released in accordance with the terms and conditions of the contract documents.
Could I get a motion to that effect?
I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
So moved.
I have a motion and a second to approve resolution read by Mr. Izzo. Any discussion? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Mr. Lank.
Good afternoon again. So we have two items of old business for this afternoon. Just to highlight, they were both